you for being here with the term karma. Okay. I think this is a big subject. You have to consider it your whole life. It's a very important subject in order to find the solution of our life and death problem related with the other world, so whether the other world exists or not, related with the present situation of human life, how we should live. So this karma, in Buddhism, requires as the serious research of human life for long term, long run, very carefully. So it's very complicated. We don't understand exactly what the karma means, but Buddhist teaching gives us a certain hint, okay, in order to know overall picture of your life related with the past, present, future. So I don't think it's necessary to to get the definite the answer what the karma means. But I think you should get a certain hint, a certain feeling, or feeling means practical feeling through your body and mind, through your everyday life. Okay. I think karma is quite different from English term fate or destiny. Most of people understand karma looks like a fate or destiny. Not only American but also Japanese people believe in that way. Karma is kind of fate or destiny. If you say fate, and if you believe karma as a fate or destiny, I think consciously or unconsciously, you have a kind of a divine entity, a kind of a divine entity as a manipulator, who has your fate on a string. But karma is not the exact fate. If you believe karma as a fate, I think you fall into the fatalism. So very naturally you become pessimistic. But I don't think it is fate, or it is the same as a fate or destiny, okay? Well, in Buddhism, karma means practically to act, to work, or to do. In Buddhism, to do something or to act is not only the mental act separate from a physical act. So if you say to act, I think it includes mental and physical act as a one. That is always very common sense in Buddhism. You cannot separate it. Okay? So karma means to act, to work, or to do. That means mental or physical act. Physical act is going. Okay? So I think in general Buddhism, There are two kinds of karma. One is not individual karma. One is, okay. And also the other one is individual karma. Individual karma is individual character. There is a certain character in everything. Table, even the table and the floor and the microphone, there is a particular character in the microphone which is different from a character in the table. Okay? So everything has individual karma as well as human beings. And another individual karma means the karma common to everyone. Okay? Say everyone has the same karma. For instance, if you say tree, well, that is whatever kind of trees, all are trees. Okay. All of you are human beings, but you are American, not Japanese. So you have a certain karma, so called American, America. Okay. So that is social, or in terms of nation, in terms of American customs or culture. I think all of you have almost the same kind of karma. Okay? So there are two different karmas. In Buddhism generally, I think one is individual karma and another individual karma. Okay? And those two karmas are produced by three kinds of activity: body, physical deed, and next language, okay, language, words, and also mind, mental deed. So physical deeds and linguistic activities and also mental deeds. Okay. And then if you do something with three category of deeds, human deeds, then you can create your own life. Okay. So it is physical deeds regarded as a cause, and then you can create your own life as a result. So, very naturally, your deeds are produced in the stream of causation, cause and effect, right? So if you do something good, you will get a good result. This is a very natural and common understanding. Okay? And also, in Buddhism, I think there are three kinds of retributions. Okay? Because causation, contents of causation is not so simple. Saying if you do something good, you will get the good result. It's not so simple. Okay. Even though you do something good, you don't get the good result. Okay. Even though you work hard, you are still poor. Your whole life working hard to make money, but still you are poor. So I think causation is not so simple activities. So very naturally, but you can, on the other end, you can ignore the characteristic of causation, so called good result, good cause brings result. Okay. So very naturally, we consider three kinds of retribution. One is if you do something good, that good cause will bring good result in this life. Okay, that is one. Next, maybe not in this life, maybe next life. And then, but that is a second. Third is maybe not next life. Good result will bring good cause will bring good result in the life after next life. In other words, life after life. Life is going constantly. That's why maybe the good cause will bring good result in life after next, after the next life, after next life. Something like that. So, this is very natural with the Buddhism consider in that way, right? Because if you see human action based on causation, it teaches us how complicated it is. So it's not so simple, okay? So the Dogen Zenji also mentions about these three kinds of retribution, right? The question is, if you think karma in Buddhism generally like this, where is this karma? Where is this? Where is a place? Where is a place? Okay? No. Where is a karma? In what the part of your life? Does karma exist? Alright? So in the beginning of Buddhism, I think it uses a certain term, yoni, yoni, kind of something stored in the womb. In the womb, that yoni in Sanskrit, yoni, or in the Abhidhamma Kosha, I think they use a certain term, kalalam, kalalam, which means the first 7 days after. You become pregnant, okay? 7 days, first 7 days. That is called kalalam, kalalam. And also, abudam, A-R-B-U-D-A-M, that is the first 7 days. The second 7 days after your pregnancy. Okay? In other words, Abhidhamma Kosha is the old Buddhist psychology. Okay, Buddhist psychology. Researching the how you produce your life, including past, present, future. Okay, Abhidhamma Kosha, 100 years ago. Anyway, Buddhists try to understand the human life like this. So, in that Abhidhamma Kosha, I think the karma is something continuous energy in somewhere. in Buddhist, in human life, okay? But it's still a little bit vague. But Abhidhamma question may be first 7 days, okay? There is a certain energy there, very basic, continuous stream of human energy there. Before, prior to your contemplation, prior to your human agency, okay? Or maybe second 7 days, something like that. And then the Buddhism has developed more, and then we have Buddhist psychology called merely consciousness, Vijñanavada, okay? Vijñanavada or Abhidhamma Kosha, something like that. That is in the Mahayana Buddhism. We have a little bit much developed Buddhist psychology that is called the Vijñanavada, or which means merely consciousness. Okay. In this, the Buddhist psychology, I think they use a certain term, mushogo, means an unmanifested karma, okay? Unmanifested karma, or they say unmanifested matter or form, okay? So according to the this term, unmanifested karma, I think they thought a kind of a potential power in human life. Like, you know, what do you call Western psychology? Deep sense of Western, or what do you call, what's his name? His name, not Freud. Oh, Jung or Freud, and they are talking about kind of potential power, potential consciousness, something like that. But a potential consciousness, where does potential, you know, the power belong to? Mental aspect of human life or physical aspect of human life? So even though you believe potential power belongs to the conscious aspect of human life, but still conscious world is classified by the two, unconscious or conscious. So we are thinking, where is the karma? Where is the potential power there? But in Buddhism, we don't separate it. The body and mind work together. Okay? So they don't talk. The Buddhism doesn't talk where potential power belongs to. But anyway, Buddhism think about anyway a certain kind of potential power in human life. The other term is in Mahayana Buddhism, it is called Arya Vijñāna as eighth consciousness. Consciousness as eighth consciousness, and then the last consciousness is called Arya Vijñāna. Arya Vijñāna has another name called Karma Vipaka, means kind of a storehouse, storehouse of various heterogeneous acts which you have accumulated for a long time. Is that, can't you feel? That is ara vijñāna, okay? So this, we have a consciousness, but eight kinds of consciousness. Then last consciousness is called ara vijñāna, which means a storehouse or big storehouse. Anyway, huge storehouse of various different, you know, human acts, okay, which you have accumulated for a long, long time. So it's huge storage there. That is your life, okay? It's the but this the consciousness that is also, I think, this term also teaches us there is a certain potential power, but that is not the belongs to the human life, but also everything. Ara vijñāna is very universal. Even the different tables, floors, trees, all have ara vijñāna. Okay, it's very interesting. This is Buddhist psychology. So very basic. A consciousness, deep consciousness, okay, more than the unconscious or conscious, okay, meaning. Okay, so from this point, I think the Buddhism developed more the Avasantika Sutra. In Avasantika Sutra, I think which is a very clear, definite structure, the explanation of how human world is going. Okay, that is Avasantika Sutra. It's very already they are translated into English, so you can read it. But you don't understand this because huge world is represented by Buddhas and many bodhisattvas. So it's very complicated. Philosophy and the psychology there. Okay? But in this sutra, I think the karma is accepted not only potential, not only the mental or physical potential power, but it includes, it is a kind of energy in the realm of the interdependent coordination, in the realm of, in the stream of interdependent coordination, okay? Interdependent coordination. It means that everything is produced by conditioned elements, many conditioned elements. So before you think or you don't think, there is a certain energy or stream, energetic stream, okay? Always creating by what? The conditioned elements. So that is completely beyond your control. So that is, if you see very deeply the structure of human world, human life, you can see that philosophical background of human existence. This is called teaching. This is called interdependent co-origination. All right? It's very deep. The philosophy, Buddhist philosophy. But anyway, karma is working in the realm of interdependent co-origination. So a little bit not only karma is not only belonging to human life or a particular beings, but it belongs to depths of general existence, okay? Cosmic existence. So, karma, idea of karma is accepted in a broader perspective, alright? Is that okay? This is in Mahayana. So very naturally, I think if you study the Buddhism in order to research what the karma is, but still it's very complex, vague. Okay? So I would like to say a little bit paying attention to human life, what you are taking care of day to day. Okay? Now, how do we accept karma? But first of all, I think you should understand what the personality, you use all of its personality. What is a personality? Personality is very simple entity. Very simple entity, including its multitudinous nature, such as, would you say, emotion, will, volition, not only intellect, okay? The intellect, emotion, and volition or will. Or very deep feeling, very profound feeling, the profound meaning which including intellect, emotion, and also will or volition. Okay, those, the intellect, the emotion, and the volition work together. That is very deep, profound feeling. Okay, we say the five skandhas, aggregates form, what's that? Feeling.
Yes.
Form, feeling, perception, impulses, consciousness. Okay? So, feeling. That second one, feeling is a very deep, profound first stage of human emotion. Okay? Very first. Before you poke your head into it. So that is a very deep feeling. The moment when you face or see your object, the image of your object is accepted by the first stage of your emotional, intellectual function. Okay? That is called feeling. Okay? So that is very deep. Or custom, habit, okay, and also character, individual character, or heredity, and also memories. Okay. What is a personality? You say personality simply, but what is a personality? Personality working in your everyday life in a very complicated way, because it includes many things. Okay? So, from this point, what is your everyday life? You always understand who you are, who they are. You evaluate yourself, you are critical toward you, toward others, toward the present situation, by which you always create anger, hatred, and fighting, and many things. What is your understanding? What is your present life? How do you understand it? Okay? So, and then I would say you, even though you don't evaluate, you don't think, you don't criticize people, but still you always give rise to a certain smell from your body, and mind. Can't you believe? Even though I sit down here, well, and without saying that you can smell certain, you know, from me, even though I don't say. So even though you don't judge, you don't criticize, or you are very nice or not good, or whatever you say, if you just sit down here, then something speaks of you. What is it? This is called personality, whole personality, right? What is a whole personality? What is it structured by? That's why I mentioned those stuff. Feeling emotions and the will, and also oneness of emotions and the intellect and the volitions and etc., and also customs, habits, and characters, and also heredities, and also memories. Memories come from your past, beginningless of past. Lots of memories you have. So some memories come up in the present, but that is just a little bit of your memories. But if you sit down, what kind of memory come up? You are surprised to see that. So from this point, I can say like this. First of all, your intellect. By your intellect, you feel your life, you feel other life, others, and you judge you and others and the world, etc. But that intellectual understanding is just a speck of dust, okay? Just a speck of dust of your personality, whole personality. It's not perfect, okay? But the problem is, intellect fully believes that your understanding is perfect. That is a characteristic of your intellectual habits. Do you understand? That's why we love so much the world which is clear and neat. We don't want the dark aspect of human world. So we don't want to have what we don't understand. So we try to understand everything. So we obviously ignore the back. Back is something you don't understand, okay? Back means a space. Well, I can always say, what is a space? Space is a front. This is also space. What is clear, understandable, reasonable? This is a space in front. This is intellectual world, all right? Created by science. And behind, that space is very dark. You don't understand it. But you cannot ignore. You have to always carry it on your back. What is the past? What is the heritage? We don't know. What is the religion? Life and dealing with life and death. In the past, in the future, we don't know what it is. So that is a space behind. To that space, to the right, to the left, this is a human relation, okay? Human relation. This is also space. That space is really taken care of by human relation, walking hand in hand. Under all circumstances, anyway, this is a taking care of space. And also space under your knees. This is everyday life, okay? Rooted in the earth. That is complete beyond wise or not wise. Everyone has to be rooted in the everyday life. That is another space. One more space is above head. Above head is something mysterious. But it helps us so much when you are really confused. So when you are confused, you always pray to where? You say God, but the God, where is God? You always look up to the sky. Don't you think so? So space above is wonderful. You know, clear, big, openness. So even though you say space, what is a space? Not a philosophical term. But practically, what is a space? Front, back, you know, behind, to the right, to the left, to beneath, and above. So those spaces should be understood. But intellectual understanding is very narrow. But the problem is that intellectual understanding fully believes that it is perfect understanding. But that is just a speck of dust. You always love front. That's it. You don't reflect upon. You don't accept with compassion relationship among the human beings. You don't. If you ignore this one, you never exist in peace and harmony. So if you want to live in peace and harmony, you have to take many kinds of space from behind, to the right, to the left, above, beneath. So, but we have, this is a fact that we have intellectual understanding, okay? So, from now on, what we have to do is to train our intellectual patterns, which you have had. In other words, a little bit change. Change means putting the head, putting their head down. Okay, you are good, but wait a minute. I will tell you something, okay? Little more broad space aspect of human life, what you don't know, all right? I think you shouldn't hit that or throw it away. No, you should take care of it. That means change, okay? So, from now on, what you have to do is to practice a changing of usual pattern of intellectual understanding system, intellectual system, all right? Another one is intellectual understanding always fully believes that there is nothing. There is nothing when you die. Your skin, muscle, and bones, and the marrow burn out. And consciousness, including consciousness, all gone. So intellectual understanding always fully believes that the death takes away everything. Nothing left. Including the other world. Okay? But Is that true? We have to think of it. So this is a little pretty good in practice for us. First one is you should train the usual pattern of your intellectual system, the system, what you have had, okay? Second, I think intellectual understanding always believes that there is nothing left after your death. But it is true or not? Intellectual understanding, if you try to believe in that way, but you don't satisfy, even though intellectual understanding fully believes that there is nothing left behind your death, but still you don't satisfy. So finally, what you have to do is to chase after your own tail, just like a cat. That is the intellectual world of playing game, seesaw game. Do you know the seesaw game? Well, chasing after, playing your own tail. So, that is the intellectual world. But the personality, if you understand your whole personality, I think you should understand something more than intellectual world, including many things I told you already. So how? That's why, let's make your mind calm. Calm your body and mind, and then practically touch the depth of your whole personality, something more than intellectual world. How do you touch something more than intellectual world? That is experience of practically feeling, practical feeling of your life, touched by the deep meditation. Make your mind calm, body. And then you can go deeply into something more than intellectual. Because the whole personality, you have to understand the whole personality, not only your life, but also others' life, and also trees, birds. You can understand trees separate from the sky and with seasons. So you have to understand the whole personality of the tree, birds, mountains. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions mountain is not only the mountain. Mountain should be understood as the mountains and also Buddha's ancestor means cosmic trees and birds. At that time, that understanding is touching to the intellectual world and also something more than intellectual world. But we don't believe this one. We always understand, just that is a tree. I understand it. I know that. But we never know. So, second is, even though you find a solution for the life and death problem, saying there is the other world, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Because it's not final solutions. Because nobody proves whether the other world exists or not. Well, we, through the book, through the something, through the philosophy, through the religions, through the words of the wise men, and they said we believe in that way, but there is no practical proof.